Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Question for you, the viewer, the listener. If you would like your lead magnets to perform better and get you more qualified prospects and customers, wouldn't it make sense to look at the most popular form of engagement in the world right now? I'm talking about video games. According to the sports and gaming platform Sportskeeda, last year the gaming industry was worth bringing in sales of $396 billion. Movies, $284 billion, and music, only $28 billion. So marketing logic tells us video games are so popular because they give people something they want and maybe can't get anywhere else. And guess who's figured out how to design lead magnets for business exactly the same way? No less than our own Nathan Fraser, who's going to share with you some new secrets about designing wildly successful lead magnets using video game principles, tricks, and techniques. Right after I share some old secrets I learned long ago, copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, and if you're building a cult, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So Nathan, I was fascinated when you mentioned your formula for putting together lead magnets. And I remember I put together a lead magnet a few years ago for one of my products, and I really should have known this and done this. But I got even more interested when you talked about combining video game principles to this. And I thought, and then you showed me a video about Super Mario Brothers, the really early 1990s Super Mario Brothers. And I said, oh man, that is so good. So why don't you explain it? Why don't you just sort of tell us what you're thinking and what you're doing? Because you're doing this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So we will talk about Super Mario Brothers. Man, some of the younger listeners maybe haven't played it. Us old guys, it was one of the staples of our childhood. And Super Mario Brothers, the first game, just nailed it. They executed what I try to implement into my lead magnets. And if anybody's ever played it, they know that the very beginning of the game makes it super easy for you to get in. They teach you how to play the game, and they give you a really easy win right off the bat. When you first turn the game on, you're facing the direction you're supposed to go. So right away, intuitively, you know which direction you're supposed to go from left to right. And the very first thing that you come across in the game is a little enemy that teaches you how to jump and how to interact with the enemies. And then immediately there's three different types of bricks. There's the question mark bricks, and they're like animated. They've got a question mark on them. There's the regular brick blocks, and then there's the platform blocks. And you immediately, your eyes are drawn to the animated question marks. You hit one, you get a reward for it. You hit another one, you get a mushroom. It makes you big, and then you can start busting the big bricks. And then the platform ones you can't do anything with, but that's kind of what makes the platforms and the stairs throughout the game. So right away, they make it really easy with just a couple of simple mechanics to let you know how it works and to give you an easy win right at the very beginning. And that easy win gets you hooked and makes you want to continue playing the rest of the level.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. I mean, that's kind of evolved into dopamine theory these days, where you don't even have to do anything. You just watch a YouTube video. I guess that's doing something. Seems pretty passive to me. And you get that dopamine hit, and then you're ready for another one. Here, I think it's probably a little more profound, because you kind of feel like you earned it and you're there's a feeling of pride, and maybe your self-esteem rises in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the same emotional state that I want people to go through when they consume one of my lead magnets. So I try to take those three key principles. It's easy to understand. There's not too much going on. Instead of opening the lead magnet and being bombarded with an hour's worth of content or 5 hours worth of content, it's just, hey, here's two or three mechanics that you need to learn right away to get started. So really easy to understand, easy to implement. You're not hit with a bunch of fireballs and a bunch of pits and a bunch of spiky enemies right off the bat. It's just one enemy and one objective. And then there's an easy reward. You get an easy win. So easy to understand, easy to implement, and easy to get a result. And that's usually what my three key factors of any lead magnet are. I want them to open it up. Right away, they're like, oh, okay, I get it. And then right away, they don't have to go out and spend $5,000. They don't have to put in 8 months of work to make it happen. Right away, it's easy to implement. And then within 15 or 20 minutes, they should see a result from it. They should say, oh, man, that was easy. And right away, I got the result I was looking for.
Okay, that's interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, that's probably also, if you have a product, whether it's a product that does something or a product that teaches you something, that's probably what your first module or your customer's first user experience should be like. But secondly, I think I mentioned before, I did a lead magnet a few years ago, and this is kind of because of my personality and my tendencies. I was trying to explain stuff, to make stuff clear, to give people, you know, insight. And people like that, maybe when they're on a podcast, but maybe not when they're buying a product. You know, they're buying a product to solve a problem, not to become a little more enlightened, mm-hmm. you know. And so it makes so much sense. And have you noticed that a lot of people don't do this in lead magnets, that either they over, you know, the things you were talking about, they overwhelm you with information, or, you know, they make it non-functional until you spend a lot more money, or maybe what I'm talking about, that they try to explain something, but they're not really delivering some quick, easy, and worthwhile results.
I think the third one, the one that you mentioned right there, is the biggest culprit. Everybody wants to showcase their expertise. Everybody wants to say, look, I'm somebody you can trust. I know what I'm talking about. I clearly explained it to you, and that's valuable. But if you just give me some information and I'm not able to act on it and I'm not able to get a very simple win out of it, all of that information was just rhetoric. It was just words in the wind. And I think that the biggest thing that we always, that I see even the best marketers, the best copywriters, the best product designers fail at, is forgetting that that easy win right up front is what gets people hooked on the game. If you don't give them that mushroom within the first frame, then people aren't going to play the rest of the level.
Say that again, because that's so crucial. I mean, businesses have been built or failed to exist based on knowing or not knowing that idea. Could you say it again?
Yeah, I'll re-say it in a way that you kind of touched on earlier. This also applies to product design. If I buy something and I'm not able to start using it right away, everybody hates IKEA. They make great quality products, but when you open the package, there's this giant, difficult instruction manual. And if the first couple of steps in the instruction manual aren't easy, you don't start seeing it being built right away, you give up before you even start. And that's how a lot of us design our products. And it's also how a lot of us design our lead magnets. So this is really a principle that applies to both. But when somebody's first coming into your world before they've made the commitment to buy from you, giving them that easy win experience right off the bat, hey, do this. It's easy to understand, it's easy to do, and you'll get a result, you'll get a win right away. Then they're like, oh my gosh, that worked. I can't wait to see what else they have for me.
So let's talk about expertise a little bit, because I want to get more into your lead magnets, but I think it's important. If you are saying you're an expert, you need to have some kind of proof. Now, I remember there was this very arrogant know-it-all consultant who was also able to make fun of himself. And he shared a video where he was at a big corporation and they said, so-and-so is a consultant. You know what a consultant is, right? He's the guy who knows 168 different ways to make love and he can't get a date on Friday night. And, this is the problem. Expertise without implementation or expertise without the user being able to, your expertise without them being able to implement is kind of empty. But there are ways, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to point out there are very simple ways to demonstrate expertise without using a lot of your customers' valuable time. One is the qualifications track record origin story, which you can tell in a minute. That's from my book, Persuasion Story Code. Thought I'd mention Persuasion Story Code. And, another way is simply not even a persuasion story, but just to tell a few very quick off-the-cuff anecdotes. When I was working with Agora, I helped them develop some promotions that quickly went into the eight figures. You don't need to say much more than that. Right. And so, I know people are insecure about this. And I know also the customers are very skeptical about whether someone's an expert or not. But believe me, they will believe in your expertise a lot more when you give them something simple to do that works to solve a problem they couldn't solve before than any amount of badges and certifications and detailed erudite explanations. And finally, I want to quote Charles Bukowski. I don't think we've done this before. He's a great writer. And what my advice in advance of the story is, don't be like the intellectual, be like the artist. And he says, an intellectual is someone who makes something as complicated as possible. The artist makes things as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to throw that in there. And please continue with where you're going, because this is fascinating.
Before we move on, I'm going to bring up another book that you wrote, Advertising Headlines That Make You Rich. That book has great explanations, but for each explanation of a type of different headline, you also have almost like templated swipe files for each headline. And you can say, here's how the headline works. Now, here's a quick example, and just switch out your words and use this same structure. And by doing that, you explain, this is an easy way to explain why this headline works. And now here's a real quick win. Take this structure and swap out your words and put it in, and bam, you've got an easy win. And that was why when I first came across your work, that was one of the first books that I bought from you. And I was just like, this, David gets it. So even if you didn't have a way to explain it to yourself, you got it. And that was one of my favorite things, one of my favorite experiences going through your stuff.
And, it's interesting. The book really polarized readers. I mean, you had some people who love to be overwhelmed by and confused by content who said, this book is nothing. It's just a swipe file. It's not worth your money. You should buy, this other complicated book instead. And one person said, one of your headlines really did make me rich, So if you're going for people who don't want to, sit in the opera gallery and applaud and write reviews in the New York Times the next day, you want people who are actually going to get in there and use it. And I've always found those to be the best customers.
Yep, absolutely. The next kind of key thing that I think matters for lead magnets is understanding where your mindset of your market is at. Usually in any market, we've got two different types of buyers. We've got the brand new to the market type of buyers, and then we've got the more sophisticated, they've been in it and they're still into it and they want to delve deeper into it type of buyers. And what I've noticed is the brand new people, the newbies to the market, they're usually in a scarcity mindset. They're not as secure in themselves. They're new. They're worried about all the things that could go wrong. And they're terrified of making mistakes. And so a lead magnet, or this also applies to any kind of content or any kind of sales page, is addressing those top five most common mistakes that X makes, or make sure you avoid this to avoid disastrous failure. Those type of lead magnets help me, or let me help you avoid the big things that destroy everybody at the beginning of their path. Those type of lead magnets tend to work a lot better for that type of market. And then you've got the people that are the more advanced. They've been in it for a couple of years. They're not so insecure. They're like, hey, I've got it. I understand this. I'm pretty good at it. What I'm looking for is not a way to avoid the common newbie mistakes. What I'm looking for is the insider advantage. I want the cutting edge over the competition. So for newbies, the lead magnet that helps them avoid loss is what's going to connect. And for your more advanced people in the market, the thing that's going to give them the extra 5 points above their competition, the thing that's going to quadruple their investment, the risk that is also an educated risk. You're not just going in it wasting your money, but a newbie might say, well, that investment seems scary. But the more advanced person says, oh, that investment will really pay off. So there's also, when you're creating your lead magnets, there's the understanding of who am I trying to attract. And if it's the new market, it's here's how to avoid the mistakes. And if it's the more advanced people in the market, it's here's how to maximize your return on investment.
Yeah. So I had an idea for a lead magnet that would not work well with advanced type of people in this market, but would work great for beginners. So imagine you had a language learning app and you wanted to use something as a lead magnet to get them to see how great your language learning technology is. You might, for English-speaking American customers, prospects, or maybe Canadians or British or New Zealand or South Africa or Australia, you might have something like, here are, I'm going to give you the 10 words every new traveler needs when they land. And these would be words that sound a lot like English words that wouldn't be that hard to learn. That would be very simple things. You know, where is the hotel? Where can I exchange my currency? Where is the bathroom? Where is the cafe? My name is, you know, things like that. Something that would maybe not only give them, you know, a working vocabulary just enough to get into trouble, and but also show them how much easier your method is for learning than anything else that they tried. And that could work great for beginners. For more advanced people, they already know the basics in the language. That's not going to work for them. They're going to need something different.
Mm-hmm. And also, there was a headline, do you make these common mistakes in English? And that was very much aimed towards the scarcity mindset, the fear. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to lose an opportunity. That works great for somebody who's just learning English as a second language. But if you've got English pretty much down, you're not worried about losing opportunities. You're not worried about being embarrassed. What you want is, here's how to speak more fluidly. Here's how to really impress people in a presentation, even if it's in your second language. So the risk of embarrassment, the fear, the scarcity mindset for the new people, the here's how to really shine for the people that are more advanced. It goes back to that knowing the mindset, the scarcity mindset versus the abundance mindset, the security level, and knowing what promise will work. And keeping that in mind when you make your lead, when you make your lead magnet, what are you promising? Which mindset are you going after? And which type of market are you trying to sell to, and making sure that that mindset, message, market matches?
Yeah. To repeat a point we have said so many times before, you've really got to know your customer. And you've got to know your customer not only in terms of their knowledge of your product or at least of other products, of competing products, but of their level of sophistication compared to people below them and people above them, where they stand in their own awareness level, education level, sophistication level.
And the reason why this matters so much is it also helps keep your list segmented or keep the wrong people off of your list. If you sell something that's for the more advanced people, but your lead magnet is attracting the newbie people, it's attracting the scarcity mindset people, if they do buy, they're not going to get the results out of it. And they're going to say, that didn't work. It was 10 rungs on the ladder up, and I'm still at rung number 3, and I couldn't even reach the bottom, and I couldn't get results, and I'm leaving a bad review on your website. Versus if you're selling something that's for the newbie people, but your lead magnet is attracting all kinds of advanced people, when they see your final offer, they're going to say, this is maybe for me 3 years ago, but there's no way I'd buy this. I'd get no value out of this. So by making sure that you use your lead magnet and you have that mindset, market, messaging match at the very beginning with your lead magnet, it means that you're going to fill your list up with the right type of people instead of fill your list up with people who are going to look down their nose at your offer or look at your offer and say, this isn't going to work for me because I'm not that far advanced yet. So it's very important from the very beginning to make sure that you're getting this right with your lead magnet.
Yeah. And once you have it right, I mean, this can go the other way too in terms of who you want to, I mean, certainly if you're doing advertising on Facebook, you have a great opportunity to target if you know who your target is. Because if you just leave it up to Facebook, they might choose somebody else. But if you can get specific about who you're looking for and why, I mean, they'll do most of the media buying for you, right?
You know, and they're getting very good at doing better targeting with your media buying than even we can do. So yeah, it's important.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I think this podcast has ended up being as much about targeting and knowing your customer and matching what you're doing to your customer as it is about lead magnets. But I still think your idea about the lead magnet and an early easy win that's valuable is the most important idea here.
Yeah. And if you don't mind, let's kind of finish up now that you know what type of lead magnet that you're going to create and how to match it to your market, I'd like to kind of finish up on some of the things that copywriters should keep in mind when it comes to the landing page, because that's where people are going to actually sign up for your lead magnet at.
Yeah, I think that's great. Because the lead magnet works and you can't get people to download it, what's the point?
True. So we'll talk about a couple of little simple things, but one of the things that I have noticed now that video is a larger component of advertising, social media, content, all of that type of stuff, I've noticed that a text ad to a text landing page tends to work really well, but a video ad to a text landing page, they don't work as well. And I think it's because if somebody's watching a video and then they click through like a YouTube advertisement or a video Facebook advertisement, if they're watching a video and they click through and there's not a video on that page, they're in video mind. They don't want to read. They want to watch video. And so if they click the ad and they go to a landing page and it's all text, now we're asking them to change the mindset that they're in, the way that their mind is working at that particular moment. We're asking them to switch gears. And that is usually an inconsistency that people don't like.
I have noticed that, especially when I'm watching foreign language films and also when I'm watching British films, I can't always understand what they're saying. Even some American films on TV, I'll turn on the closed captioning. And I noticed there is a video mode where I'll be so involved in the story, I will stop reading and I'll have to rewind because I forgot to get into reading mode for a particular line that I want to know exactly what it was. So just to back up that there really is a difference.
Yeah. So what I've noticed is Google ads, especially like Google search ads to a text landing page works great, but a YouTube ad to the same text landing page doesn't convert as well. And so match whatever type of content your ad is, match that to the type of content that's on your landing page and you'll get more conversions. Another thing is, this is so simple, but so many people by default just leave it the way that it's set. And that's the capture fields for their email. It just says email. And I notice that I get a lot of junk email addresses or spam email or throwaway email addresses. And by simply putting best email in that field, I get their best email. So just a simple prompt, adding 4 letters increases my open rates, increases my conversion rates, increases my interactivity with the person on the list. And so just adding that really simple best before email in the capture field will drastically improve the quality of the emails on your list. And this one should be a no-brainer, but I see people make this mistake all the time too. On your landing page, get rid of everything except for the one thing that you want them to do. So the rest of your website, we've always got the navigation bar at the top. It's got the home page, the about us page, the blog post, whatever. If you leave that toolbar on the top of your landing page for your opt-in, people will say, they'll get to that page, you paid to get them there, and now they're there, and you've got five different options for them to do other than signing your email list. And they might click over to your blog, they might click over to your about, and so now you paid to get someone to your website and they didn't do the one thing. So on your opt-in page, make sure that the only thing people can do on that page is opt-in. And then I guess I should put the qualifier to stay compliant with the advertising platforms. You should have a link to your privacy policy and to your terms and conditions, but those should be the only other places that people could go. And I usually put them in fine print at the very bottom of the page just to stay compliant, but I don't want them grabbing.
And very light gray, I'm sure.
Very, very light gray. You're right. And then the last point, the last thing that'll help you get more people to sign up for your lead magnet is the call to action button. By default, the call to action in all of the email platforms when you're building your opt-in forms, by default, it's usually something like sign up or join our newsletter or subscribe to my email list. Never use that for the call to action on the button. I always use something like get access now, get yours now, get instant access. And the reason why is I want to associate clicking the button with getting something good instead of join my email list so I can spam you and send you all kinds of affiliate marketing offers. I don't want that being what prompts them to click the button. I want them to say click equals get something good. So get access now, get yours now, get instant access. Those are just a couple of other things. Once you have a good lead magnet and you've got it matched to your market, take these final little cherries on the top of your landing page and watch your conversions skyrocket.
That sounds good. So let's practice. I understand that your school group is growing. It's about this kind of thing. You actually put people through a little video game type of escalation to get the highest membership. Right now it's free. So what do people need to do to get access now, to get theirs, to get instant access to Forbidden Marketing Secrets?
You can just go to ForbiddenMarketingSecrets.com, and there is all of these principles. You'll see that I practice what I preach. When you get in there, you'll see that right away there's a couple of things that'll help you get instant results that are very easy to accomplish and easy to understand. And then as you learn how to play the game, school is great for gamification of a community, of a teaching process. So it's very much like a game. And so when you get in there, you'll get access to things that'll give you quick, simple wins. And then as you go, you'll get access to more advanced stuff. But we don't hit you with an hour's worth of training right off of the bat. We hit you with, here's the 3-minute training that you can implement now and you can start seeing results with right away. So the same principles that we talk about here, they apply to lead magnets, they apply to offers, they apply to products. And I consistently use them through almost everything that I do.
I can see the headline in The Onion now. Internet marketer actually practices what he preaches.
I know, it's shocking, but true. So yeah, ForbiddenMarketingSecrets.com is where you can go to check that out. And David, I just wanted to say thank you for letting me hog the spotlight this week and share this with our listeners, because I think it's an important thing that a lot of copywriters forget. We know all of this stuff, but we forget it, or maybe we don't even know it.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you. I have never seen anyone just give a clear, comprehensive formula for a lead magnet, and that's probably one reason I screwed up on mine a few years ago. So, no, this is great.
Awesome, and A reminder, if you enjoyed this episode and you want to check out more episodes just as powerful as this one, we've got close to 400 episodes available over on copywriterspodcast.com. So go there, check it out. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcasting app. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.